we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. It is Monday, January 20th, the big day, the one we've been waiting for, the one we've been working for, the one we've been praying for. This is a day that that I think there were many, many in our audience, many in this country, thought may never come. You know, there were some dark days in the last few years. There were points where we thought, you know, we can lose this thing. This nation could go off the cliff into tyranny and take generations to come back. It's not just a comeback for Donald Trump. I mean, it is without a question the greatest political comeback in history. I know they keep saying that, so, you know, some may think that that's just a line or that that's pithy. I think it's true. I mean, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt, Grover Cleveland, you go to some of those comebacks, but nothing like this. You know, they called Bill Clinton the comeback kid. It was nothing compared to what we just witnessed today. This is on another level and another stratosphere. But it's not just about Trump. It's the American people that have had such an amazing comeback. I mean, let's not forget just how far the left went to try and destroy the American dream, to try and destroy the American story, to rewrite history, to emphasize the ugly in American history, ignore the good, and then make up the bad. I mean, literally made up things about our nation and poured that into the minds of our children for so many years that we had children marching in the street. Now, when I say children, college-age kids marching in the street against America. Kids marching in the street for the murderous regime of Hamas. Marching in the streets and quite literally burning down cities in this country just a few short years ago. And now here we are with a sense of revival and a glorious revolution, as the founders often called the original revolution in this country, that is without bloodshed and that is with a sense of hope that I just think of many people in this country did not think would happen. So this is the day that we've prayed for, as I said, that we've hoped for, and here it is. And I'm telling you, I'm watching and listening to President Trump's speech and having to pinch myself. I mean, it's surreal. This is no longer a campaign speech. This is no longer rhetoric. This is no longer, you know, feel good. Boy, it'd be nice if these things could happen. It's no longer, you know, someday maybe. Maybe if all the stars align and if God really had mercy on us, then this could happen. Folks, it's happening. It is right before us. And while, you know, it's personified in Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Elon Musk and all of the people that were standing behind him that are part of this team that's coming in, it's personified in these individuals. But it is so far beyond that. It's the millions and millions of Americans that did not lose hope. The millions and millions of Americans that stood on the principles and the values the nation was built upon and said, we're not going to let this happen on our watch. I mean, it's millions of Americans, again, personified in Donald Trump and this team, that it was like that scene in Lord of the Rings when, you know, Gandalf slams down the staff and says, "You shall not pass." We basically said to the leftist and the Marxist that had taken over every major institution in America, "No, you shall not take America from us without a fight." And not knowing how the fight would end, not knowing whether or not we could save America, whether or not we could even win an election again. I lost count at the number of people that said, "Rick, we'll never win an election again. They've already managed to corrupt the system. It's over." I heard from so many people that said, it's too far gone. The transgender agenda, the homosexual agenda, it's done. That we've lost all of it. and the craziness of the injustice of politically persecuting the enemy and jailing and the people for simply exercising their free speech, and I mean all of it. I mean we could go down all of that ugly, and so many people thought this day would not come, that there would not be a new day in America, a restoration of these values. And so as Donald Trump gave that speech and said those things, knowing that it's no longer rhetoric in a campaign speech, but now will become policy. So much of what he spoke to does not even require legislation. So much of what he spoke to, he will execute this afternoon with executive orders and in the coming days, and I might add, constitutionally, which we have to get into. I don't know if we'll have time today, the difference between a constitutional executive order and an unconstitutional executive order. I may save all that for tomorrow, just so that we can stay focused on the inauguration itself today. But so much of what he said, almost, well, not all, there were some things that will require legislation, but so much of what he said, as he said, it's just common sense. It's a restoration of common sense. And because so much of the damage was done over the last 4 years with executive orders, with unconstitutional actions by this horrific regime, I am so disgusted as we watch them get on the helicopter and fly away at the last minute. Insanity. I mean, it's hard to be any more disgusted than we have been for the last 4 years. But the idea of pardoning Anthony Fauci, one of the most evil men in the history of America, did more damage, cost more lives, more money, more destruction of our nation than any human being in our nation's history. And Joe Biden has the nerve and the absolute audacity to pardon this man in the final minutes of his presidency is disgusting. Anthony Fauci deserves prosecution. And I'm not so sure that this preemptive pardon thing is going to fly. We'll see. We'll dive further into that one on a later program as well. But the idea that he would pardon him and all, the J6, as Donald Trump said, unselect committee, or however he put it, disgusting. Disgusting. And the fact that Joe Biden, in the final days, would claim to have the power to ratify a constitutional amendment. He claims that now we have a 28th Amendment to the Constitution, the Equal Rights Amendment. The President of the United States has absolutely zero to do with constitutional amendments. None. Has no say, no power, no part in the process whatsoever. None. And this guy still has the nerve to come out and give a speech and act as if he is, on his own, making the 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution, the Equal Rights Amendment, which even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said had not been ratified and the process had not been fulfilled, and that, you know, it failed to be ratified because not enough states ratified it by the deadline date. The courts have said that. I mean, it's not even a question for anyone with any ounce of brain power and intellectual honesty. It's a non-starter, and this guy still comes out and claims to have ratified the... It's just all of these last-minute things. Thank you, Lord, that it has come to an end. Thank you, Lord, that in the last couple of hours, we did, in fact, get a peaceful transfer of power and that we finally do have sanity being restored. The adults are back in the room. The adults are back in charge. The party that nearly destroyed our country, this just out of control leftist mayhem, is coming to an end. Now, it's going to take a lot of work over the next few years, folks. Don't let the pomp and circumstance fool you into thinking it's all done. But let us celebrate the moment. The reason you have inaugurations like this and ceremony and all of those things is to spike the moment, to remember the moment when that transition happened and when the work began. It's a triumphal entry, but the work now begins, and you could see it on Donald Trump's face if you were watching the entire inauguration ceremony. You could see it on his face, almost an impatience to get the pomp and circumstance over with so that he could get to the real work. That's the difference. The biggest difference between now and 2017 is this is a guy that's not just playing a part, fulfilling a role, you know, doing a TV show. This is a guy with absolute resolve. You look, you watch his face, even walking out, not just walking in, walking out of the inauguration, the shots of him, you know, in the hallways as he's leaving, and the amount of resolve on his face, I have great anticipation for what's going to happen in the next few hours and the next few days, and then of course the next few years. So the initial actions, so much work has already gone into preparing these executive orders, to preparing the steps that they're going to take. And I believe we're in for an amazing, amazing first 100 days. I thought one of the coolest things about the speech was that at the beginning of the speech, right off the bat, I mean, just boom, he just socks Joe Biden upside the head over and over and over again, talking about restoring justice and greatness and how all of the insanity and evil that had happened for the last few years was coming to an end. I mean, he's literally hitting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris upside the head with his first few lines in the speech. It was so blunt. It was so real. It was so accurate and truthful and measured. It was fantastic. And I am just so thankful for this moment. And let us have a heart of gratitude about what's happening right now. I will say, as I, you know, I tend to go good, the bad, and the ugly, and try to cover all of it at once, and I know it's too much, but I mean, just a couple of the insane moments in the inauguration. I mean, how many times did Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, a complete fraud and hypocrite, in her opening address, how did she get in charge? I know you got a Republican and a Democrat senator that's in charge of all the pomp and circumstance, but the fact that she got the first few minutes and could call our nation a democracy 50 times inaccurately and say all these things about, you know, malice towards none and no matter how much we dislike each other, they were coming to get blah, blah, blah. Where was all that 4 years ago? Where was all that 4 years ago when Joe Biden became the persecutor in chief? You know, they're trying to say all of that to Donald Trump as if he would do what Joe Biden actually did. Anyway, that was absurd and crazy. But you know what's beautiful? What was beautiful? Great is thy faithfulness. If you were tuned in before the inauguration started, I don't know who was playing the hymns, but the fact that, you know, 5 minutes before this whole thing's going to kick off and the transfer of power is going to take place, great is thy faithfulness was the hymn that was being played. And I was listening to that and humming along and so thankful, because great is his faithfulness. All of the evil that has been endured, how close we came to losing our nation, but great is his faithfulness. God is not done with America. God is not done with our nation. And it was on full display. And what a perfect song. What a perfect hymn to be played just before this amazing, amazing transfer of power. Sorry, folks, but I guess maybe I had my moments of doubt, too. I'm usually the eternal optimist. But, man, it's been a tough road. But great is his faithfulness. When we come back from the break, Walker Wildman will be with us. He's freezing in Washington, D.C. I purposely wore a short-sleeve Patriot Academy shirt in my very warm studio today just to rub it in on Walker a little bit as he's freezing in Washington. Friends, it's a great day. It's a great, great day. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green on this beautiful January 20th, as Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance have been sworn in, it's a new day in America. In the words of Ronald Reagan, the last one to be sworn in the rotunda 40 years ago, it's morning in America. Stay with us. We'll be right back on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, our tours for 2025, our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg and Boston, they're filling up. They're halfway full now. And we've never had a response quite like this. So what I'm saying is, if you want to go with us this year to either Colonial Williamsburg, which includes Jamestown and Yorktown, or Washington, D.C. and all the sites of our nation's capital, including Mount Vernon, or if you want to go with us to Boston and see the Freedom Trail and all the sites of the greater Boston area. If you want to go on these trips with us this year, it's time to check into the information and register so that you make sure you're on one of our tours, the one you want to go on, obviously. So go to the website wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com. Hope to see you on one of these in 2025.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Walker Wildman is in Washington, D.C. Who's crying? I'm not crying. That was just, you know, I can't say it's cold outside and cold wind in my face was making me cry. Okay, I was crying. I'm crying for our nation. I'm weeping with joy. Tears of joy, folks. All right, Walker might be crying for being so cold. He might be just, you know, shivered up and curled up in a ball on the floor of whatever restaurant he's in Washington, D.C. Walker, hey, brother, are you staying warm, man?
Rick, man, we're inside on Pennsylvania Avenue, looking out on Pennsylvania Avenue. And, yeah, we're staying warm right now, but I tell you what, the walk over was quite chilly, and the walk back tonight is going to be just as cold, so... Hey, Rick, this is an exciting time. I'm with about 400 Patriots inside a restaurant on Pennsylvania Avenue celebrating the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. And the energy's electric. The security's extraordinary. And I'll tell you what, this is, you can sense a new season of American history has just started.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's... It's palpable for sure, and people all over the nation, you know, watching online, listening here on American Family Radio, almost waiting with bated breath to see, you know, how quickly things change. But things have already been changing. You and I have been talking about it on the program even before the inauguration. But such an important moment. I'm so glad you're there to be a part of it. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's going to go on this afternoon and tonight. Going to be a lot of executive orders this afternoon, and then a lot of inauguration balls and celebration tonight. So a really special time in American history. Walker, I got to start our segment together by saying, man, I got to admit my wrongs. I missed it on two things. Number one, I said the Weekend of Bernie's routine would not last 4 years. I thought Joe Biden would be out of there within 6 months. 25th Amendment invoked. Didn't happen. He actually made it all the way to the end, even though he was sleeping at the beginning of even the inauguration today. And then secondly, I thought for sure they would figure out a way for Harris to be 47 and everybody's hats be messed up and they would need 48 hats. And even if it was only for the last 2 months of the term, and they didn't do that either. So I was wrong on both of those things, and I was thinking about that as they were walking in today. But, Walker, we were right about a lot of things, and part of what we were right about was the church reengaging and having a significant impact. I don't think we can exaggerate how important that was to get to this point of a new start for America. The church played a pivotal role in this.
Yeah, let me tell you two things, Rick, that stand out to me. Number one, and I want folks to really pay attention to this, there was supposed to be a Muslim imam conducting one of the prayers at today's inauguration. And what do you know? That didn't happen. He was on the agenda as of 4 days ago. He was off the agenda today. Only Christians and Jews conducted prayers at the inauguration, and the name of Jesus was lifted up. Most importantly, by Franklin Graham,
yes,
on multiple occasions. So that cannot be forgotten, is that the false religion, the evil religion of Islam, was wholly rejected at the U.S. Capitol today by President Donald J. Trump, and only Jews and Christians were permitted to pray at the inauguration. That is a big, big deal. I haven't read my history yet, but I'll almost guarantee you that was the first time only Christians and Jews prayed at the inauguration over the last couple of decades.
Walker, also, it was, and not only Christian and Jewish prayers. Incredible prayers. Man, those were powerful prayers, bold prayers, unapologetic prayers. You know, Franklin Graham, always fantastic. It was not your typical just ceremonial, you know, everybody be nice and love each other. And they were staking out ground for the restoration of righteousness in this country.
Yes, that's exactly right. And this is, we were on the precipice of eternal disaster in this nation. And that cannot be overstated.
That's right.
Where we were headed was to a place of being unable to recover. So this election is historic on multiple fronts. Another thing I want to mention is how prepared these guys are. I mean, I've never seen anybody so prepared, whether it's executive orders or otherwise. Deportations are starting first thing tomorrow morning in multiple cities around the country. These people are very prepared. President Trump and his team, I would argue, are even more prepared than Reagan was during Reagan's first and second term. I mean, these guys are the best of the best of the best. Also, the vast majority, if not all, of President Trump's cabinet is professing Christians. This is a big deal. This is not, this is not a bunch of secular billionaires that, are in it for their own egos. These are born again believers, many of them, maybe not all, that are assuming these positions in the cabinet and otherwise. I would argue that President Trump has more evangelical Christians around him today than even in 2016 and 2017. So this is very, very important. The right people are around President Trump, and that's going to make an impact over the next 4 years.
Man, no doubt about it. And it's you talk about their preparedness. I mean, we prayed for men of Issachar, right? We wanted people that understood the times and knew what to do. And I believe God has answered that prayer. And the evidence is what you just said, the preparedness, knowing what needs to be done right now, understanding the damage that's been done, understanding the challenges that we face, understanding the hard, deep work that needs to be done to restore this thing, and they are not taking it lightly. This is not, you know, just pomp and circumstance and speeches and rhetoric. I was thinking that even as he was giving the speech, that this is no longer a campaign speech or just a feel-good rally. This is policy now. This is actually getting implemented. Almost everything he talked about in his speech, I was mentioning this in the first segment, Walker, is executive order type things. It's not even going to need legislation. He's just talking about undoing the unconstitutional actions of the current, the previous administration. Oh, it's so good to say that instead of current. So this is real, man, and it's exactly what you just said. It's they're ready to hit the ground running, from the deportation thing to the executive orders to undoing to even as simple as saying there is a man and a woman and there's only male and female. I mean, he was so straight to the point, blunt and bold, and I don't even know. I mean, there's so many of those things that he said that are game changers. It's just huge.
Yes. We've got 200 executive orders ready to go. And I think he just signed a few within the last 10 minutes. He's going to sign more, I would expect, at the Capital One Arena, possibly when he gets back to the White House this evening. But these folks are ready to go. I mean, the Trump staff is already at the White House now, staking their claim. If you go to the whitehouse.gov website, the home page is President Trump, a picture of President Trump, and it says America is back on the home page of the White House. So they're trolling the Biden, outgoing Biden team. It's quite, gloatful to watch because of what we've been through, Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been hell on earth, and I don't mean that in a provocative or defamatory sense, but this has been hell on earth the last 4 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it has. I mean, Americans have suffered.
That's right.
Seriously, and not just economically. I mean, we've seen political persecution, people of faith being prosecuted and persecuted. I mean, this has been an unmitigated disaster. And so righteous leadership is taking stage. And I just want to say one more thing about any Christians that have had any type of hesitation about supporting President Trump, praying for President Trump, and where President Trump is. Look, I don't know the man's heart. I don't know if he has a personal born-again relationship with Jesus or not. No man knows that. But I can tell you this. His actions show that he, at a minimum, has a deep respect for Christianity. He has a deep respect for God, the Creator, and that's showing by the people he's surrounding himself with. So this is this is a big deal. And when you look throughout Scripture, God uses non-typical people to bring about extraordinary change throughout human history, not just biblical history, but also more modern history as well. God uses people that you and I might look at and go, wow, that's an unusual character. Why would God use him or her? But that's how God operates. That's how God works. And so there's no doubt in my mind that God is using President Trump in many various ways for the preservation of this republic so that we can continue to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ to the edges of the earth for decades to come.
Amen, brother. Well, and aren't we commanded, I mean, or not commanded, aren't we told that we'll know them by their fruit, right? So forget the labels, forget the rhetoric. What's the fruit? And this guy has given us some incredible fruit, and like you said, the actual actions. I was trying to find just now, I think you're right, some have already been signed. And to the fact that the gender issue, that he would make that one of the first executive orders that he signs, I think that's one of the ones that he just signed in the last few minutes. I mean, Walker, you know, there's been times where even in Republican circles, for those of us that would say there's only male and female, we were ostracized and almost treated as if we're on the wrong side of history. So for Donald Trump from New York and from the, you know, background that he did came from to make this one of his top priorities. It's you remember back in 2017 when he said no transgenders in the military, and we thought, wow, man, for him to take that stance, we were really surprised. Well, here we are again. He's staking out, you know, getting rid of this anti-science, anti-history, anti-biblical position. I mean, that says a lot about, you know, what may be to come for the next 4 years.
Well, that's exactly right. And this cuts to the core of the issue that we have with sexual deviancy in America. And that is this false notion that you can just be whatever you want to be. And if you do enough surgeries and take enough hormones or do enough propaganda and indoctrination, then reality will change. So declaring man and woman as the fundamental basis of science and biology in America, it shouldn't be needed, frankly, if we were operating as any type of sane society. But the reality is that type of clarity is needed. It is needed. And the federal policy needs to operate under that truth that there is only man and woman. And that's a trickle-down effect that literally touches the entire sexual deviancy agenda. So one man, one woman, man and woman creation, I mean, that gets to these gender mutilation surgeries. That affects those. It affects the entire transgender ideology that's percolating in our culture. So this is a big, big deal. And President Trump is taking some pretty bold action. I mean, he's not holding back on anything. And one more thing on the executive orders. Look, this invasion at the southern border, him declaring it an invasion and using, century-old statute and 50-year-old statute to declare it a national emergency is a big, big deal. Because what you're going to see is not only mass deportations, but you're about to see the militarization of our southern border. You're about to see special operators and military operating on the southern border, which they should be because we're battling dangerous cartels that are terrorist organizations. So deploying the military on the border and into Mexico should be on the table. It should be utilized. That's the only way you're going to take down these cartels.
Oh, man. Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Man, so many things I want to ask you about. I can't wait for us to do a full show together. But I gotta give a shout out. This is gonna sound trivial to you, Walker. I gotta give a shout out to Carrie Underwood. You and I are both in production, so we know we've been on a stage when the AV didn't work, or been, you know, behind the scenes running the sound in our younger days. When that sound doesn't work, you're sweating. They couldn't get the AV to work at the biggest event in the world, and Carrie Underwood just steps up and goes a cappella on America the Beautiful. It was a great moment. I was proud of her. I was feeling the pain of the sound guy, whoever he was, that couldn't get that to work. Okay, so back to executive orders and pardons. Okay, so Joe Biden pardoned Anthony Fauci, something I just disgusted by, but apparently in the final few minutes, he pardoned some of his family. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but, you know, no end to, I guess. Well, there is an end. I shouldn't say that. The end was at noon. So it is nice to have an end to the insanity of this previous administration.
Yes, Rick, the irony is that in Biden's, in his statement about pardoning his brother and the rest of his family, he said that he doesn't want to see them subjected to irreparable financial and character harm from undue prosecution. Well, it's like, where have you been for the last 4 years? Because
right.
that's literally what you've been doing to Trump.
That's
and
right.
all of his supporters, Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, all the pro-lifers, all the J6ers, and dozens more that have been targeted by Biden's DOJ and suffered character harm and financial harm of which will never be recovered. That's what Biden did to us over yeah. the last 4 years. So their projection is strong, and they're trying to play the victim card now. But to your point, it's over. It's over. And even though Fauci might be pardoned and James Biden might be pardoned, Trump and the DOJ need to turn over every single stone of injustice that has occurred over the last 4 years. And criminal prosecutions must be on the table for any Biden official that broke the law by targeting innocent American citizens. I expect the J6ers and the pro-lifers to be released and pardoned, I would say within 24 hours. I would not be surprised if the J6ers and the pro-lifers are pardoned before midnight tonight. This is a top priority. It's got to be done. I think Trump actually needs to invite the people that have suffered undue persecution under Biden to the White House.
Amen.
This needs to be a big deal. Both the pro-lifers and the J6ers, bring them to the White House, show them the honor and respect of the U.S. government. This has to be done because what these people and these families have been through is unimaginable.
Absolutely true. Walker, I agree with everything you just said 100%. It's absolutely necessary for restoring faith in the institutions. It's necessary for justice. It's just the right thing to do. Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm hoping it's even this afternoon. But like you said, by midnight tonight, that those pardons take place and that then those people are, you know, brought in and given, I'm no kidding, Medal of Freedom, whatever he specific award he would choose to give to them. Something's got to be done to right the wrongs. And I will say, listen, right here in Fredericksburg, Texas, where I am right now, we're building out facilities to house J6 defendants that have been in jail. My friend Jenny McCombs has a ministry that she started there. We're going to get them jobs. We're going to help them get their lives back together. Much work to be done, folks, to restore justice in this country, to restore our republic. This is just the beginning. Today is a day of celebration. Walker, God bless you, brother. Hope you stay warm, and I'm so glad you're there and I'm not.
Amen, Rick. God bless.
All right, that's Walker Wildman, folks. He'll be back with you on Wednesday for a full show. I'll have the full show for you tomorrow as well. But stay with us through the break. When we come back, we'll be talking about some of those other headlines, some of the things that are happening today. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, hosting for Walker today on Monday as he is in Washington, D.C. for the inaugural events. And I am warm and toasty in my studio while Walker freezes out there. So I'm so glad that he was the one on assignment and I get to stay in the studio. But anyway, it is a great, great day. And as Donald Trump himself put it, the golden age of America begins right now, today, folks. It's an incredible, incredible day. So many lines from the speech, by the way, fair, equitable, and impartial justice. He didn't put that in there just to sound nice. That's what's about to happen. We're going to restore justice in this country. What an exciting, exciting day. Chris Woodward with us as well, and we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on. Chris, what an incredible day, a moment in history, hearing all kinds of accolades about the speech itself, mm-hmm. being short and to not short, but all business, right? Right to the point. So much business to put in there. Man, he was bold and blunt in that speech, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And for people that didn't see it, didn't hear it on American Family Radio, we did air the oath of office as well as his speech. He has promised to do a number of things. And I've seen ballpark figures on anywhere from dozens to hundreds of executive orders today. So stick with American Family Radio for continuing coverage of what is expected to be a very busy day for President Donald Trump now that he is back in office. Let's recap some of the things he said he would do very soon. He's promised to shut down the border, use the military to help make sure the border is secure. We're going to designate drug cartels, foreign terrorist organizations. We are going to bring back return in Mexico policy. We are going to make America safe again, President Trump says. In terms of the economy, He said pretty much what he has said for a couple of years now, ever since he started running for president again. The president has promised to open up more oil and gas exploration, and in his words, drill, baby, drill. We're going to make American manufacturing great again. We're going to refill our strategic petroleum reserve after President Joe Biden depleted it to try to help Ukraine out. We're going to make America a rich nation again. And we're going to do away with a whole host of climate stuff that President Joe Biden wanted as policy in these United States of America. If I can, I'd take a minute to try to explain why energy policy matters.
Even for him to say in the speech, drill, baby, drill, I thought was beautiful. I sent out to a few friends of mine right when he said it. I mean, and I love the look on, well, not just on that line, but so many lines. I just loved watching Biden and Harris and Clinton and all the rest just have to sit there and take punch after punch after punch as he let them have it, right?
Right, yeah. For people that didn't see it, Biden sat there with a smirk and when he was awake.
Yeah.
And then now former Vice President Kamala Harris kind of sat there making a face not that different from an Easter Island statue, trying to just get through the moment. The reason why the energy policy really matters is because I know it's kind of wonky, but if we increase the amount of energy and we specifically go after our own resources versus buying it from countries that don't like us, we are increasing jobs, we're increasing supply at a time of high demand, and that will, in theory, help make it easier for people that grow things or make things and ship it to stores. No matter how you get your clothing or your food, that all got there through energy. And if we can do things to make energy cheap again, we will, in theory, help bring down prices. That does not mean the price of a carton of eggs tomorrow is going to be half of what you're paying today. But over the course of this year, if everything happens as he says it will, we will start to see some reductions, maybe even significant reductions in the price of things like food and apparel, which we all need to live in these United States.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an economist myself, but it is probably the greatest impact on inflation, right? So if you can bring it, because it impacts everything, the cost of everything. So if you increase the supply by drill, baby, drill, and you actually use, like you said, our own supplies here so that, you know, you're also creating jobs, then it's going to help. It's absolutely going to have an impact. Chris, it's a little bit on a sidebar here with regard to that. Mm-hmm. When Reagan came in 1981, very, very similar situation in terms of interest rates, in terms of inflation. I mean, all of those things, and due to very much the same policies that Carter had as Biden has had. But when Reagan implemented his tax cuts and his policies, it took a couple of years for that to kick in. And a lot of people tried to get him to reverse, even people on his own team. But he understood economics and he stayed the course. Do you think we're looking at a year and a half for the impact of the Trump policies? Or could there be enough pent up demand out there for people to want to get into the market, to start businesses, to do things, that maybe that balances out and we see results a little sooner? Does that make sense? That was a convoluted question.
Yeah, I totally get it. As we say, I smell what you're stepping in. But I think it's going to take a while. It's I would say like a year. And really, people need to be patient. Like I said, prices are not going to be cheaper tomorrow, next week, next month. But over the course of time, about a year from now, we could be having a positive discussion about things like a carton of eggs, which if you haven't shopped for some in a grocery store lately, what you were paying a couple of years ago is a drop in the bucket compared to what a carton or, you know, a big old package of eggs might be today. And I keep bringing up eggs because that was one of the things that people talked about in this election, that it was about the price of eggs. It was about the price of groceries. People could not afford to live. And we've been borrowing and using our credit cards a lot in the past year, year and a half to help make ends meet. And that spells trouble for an economy. And really the troubling thing about it was we were doing all these things to try to get by while the former administration was giving away money willy-nilly, sometimes to countries that don't like us. Or don't share our same views. And that really is a travesty, the fact that we have to work and pay taxes under penalty of law, and then people are using it to do whatever political thing they want to do, even if we don't agree with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, let me ask you, Chris, there's so many things today, right? I mean, this is one of those news days where, I mean, how do you figure out what to focus on and what breaks through? And that's probably part of what Joe Biden was counting on with these absurd pardons from early this morning of Fauci and others to his own family minutes before leaving office. Probably what he's counting on is the news cycle is just going to be full of all of these things, the actual inauguration, Trump's executive orders, all the new people coming in. All of that is just, you know, there's more information than we can take in. So what do you see as the top? What's breaking through, I guess? What are you seeing as actually getting through the noise that people are keying in on and that you think will be the stories of the day?
Really? Well, you know, the Trump executive orders pretty much is going to be the lead, certainly through the evening. And tomorrow, the national story will still be kind of water cooler conversations over, did you watch the speech? What did you like from it? But you know, I think people don't need to lose focus of Biden's actions toward people like his own family members and Anthony Fauci. I would be shocked if the Fauci situation is not brought up at, like, confirmation hearings for some of these people in medical positions and nominations. Yeah. Because, you know, you've got people like Senator Rand Paul that, you know, have been really upset by what people like Anthony Fauci and others did to us as a country, as a society. So, you know, CNN, MSNBC, some others will do their, you know, they'll do their usual liberal stuff here to try to erase any negatives that Biden did. But certainly that will be kind of a second story, maybe even second block for TV lingo out there in terms of news coverage on today's Inauguration Day events.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, we're going to be reporting and talking about some of the things that happened today, like a month from now, because we'll finally get to them. But even then, there's going to be a slew of things. I've wondered. Do you think? You know, do you remember when Obama came in? It was whack-a-mole, right? I mean, he was doing so many things so fast. Their team, as you know, Walker was talking about in the last segment, came in ready, and they did so much to move the nation to the left, and we were playing defense and trying to figure out, you know, which thing do we attack, which thing do we talk about, which thing do we bring attention to. I'm praying it's going to be the same way, you know, for the left now. They're going to have to figure out, what do I respond to with all of these things that the Trump administration is doing? And hopefully not just the Trump administration, but at the state and local level, we start gaining ground and moving quickly, and we take cues from how fast they're moving. I'm trying to get county commissioners and others to move just as quick to restore private property rights and all of these other things. I mean, I just think there's going to be so much good happen in the next few months. The left is going to be caught. I mean, they're going to be back on their heels. Do you think the same thing?
I do. And, you know, it brings about a conversation we've had on this program, other shows here. I know iVoter Guide has been all over this. It's all about, you know, remember to vote down ballot.
Yeah.
Don't just vote for the people at the top of the ticket. Today's dog catcher will be tomorrow's state senator and from state senator to member of Congress. So, you know, you do need to educate yourself on what candidates are interested in, what they're talking about on the campaign trail, because very low-level people today are in huge positions of leadership tomorrow. So you do need to take the time as voters to educate yourself and figure out where the R's and D's and L's and I's all stand on a number of things. Also, I think it would behoove current office holders to have a good explanation and to be clear, concise communicators onto how this benefits people. There is a lot of optimism right now, but, you know, I hate to say it, the midterm elections are not that far away.
I know, man.
And Democrats are going to use their connections in television to try to convince people as to why what Trump and Republicans are doing is bad. So it's a well-rounded thing that involves really every conservative staying in the fight for sure.
Chris, I didn't warn you I was going to ask you about this, and so I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but with Waltz resigning today, Congressman Waltz, you know, now the margin of the majority is super slim in the House. Is there any talk about that? I mean, are those, I guess, what I think there's three seats, three special elections now that are going to happen very quickly, you know, for Waltz and Stefanik and Gaetz. I mean, what are you hearing about that in terms of how Speaker Johnson, you know, maintains this while these elections are going to take place?
Yeah, I've heard similar people voice concerns about how this is going to be a very uphill battle for Speaker Johnson and other Republicans going forward. I think he actually faces a smaller majority this time around than when Speaker Johnson first assumed that position in what seems like 10 years ago in this news
right.
cycle. But yeah, it is a big concern, and I think Democrats obviously would love to win those seats. They do have some money left after the 2024 election, and so people like the George Soroses of the world will try to fund elections here. Republicans should never, you know, count their chickens before they hatch. So If you are a Republican strategist listening to the show, first of all, thank you for doing that. But you need to make sure that whoever you're trucking out there to replace, let's say, Waltz or Gates or Stefanik, somebody out there, you need to make sure that you have a good, solid person. And no one should take anything for granted.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, that's going to be a, you know, when there's only a couple of elections like that in the whole nation happening during that time frame, then everybody focuses on it. So a ton of money gets poured into those, very quickly. Now, I am seeing some headlines that some GOP lawmakers are pledging to investigate Biden's last minute pardons and call them all before Congress. I mean, who knows what will end up happening there. Should be interesting. Hey, let's end with some fun.
OK,
so the Gulf of Mexico. It's going to be the Gulf of America. Where did this idea come from? I love it, but I don't even know how it started. Yeah. And he actually included it in his speech.
I don't know exactly the origins of it in terms of where it came from. It seems to have entered the national conversation within the last 2 weeks, maybe. I think some people just don't like the word Mexico being so close to America. I would not be shocked, Rick, if we don't have a situation where it's kind of like a Burma-Myanmar type thing, where one country may say Gulf of America, but other countries say Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if whoever replaces Trudeau up in Canada isn't still saying Gulf of Mexico in some sort of economic speech. But who knows? Maybe some others will come on board. Maybe the Trump trade representatives will even offer, we'll do this and that for you if you will join us in calling this the Gulf of America. We shall see. This is the guy who wrote the art of the deal.
That's right. It may depend on which map that you're looking at for a while.
Yeah, I will say I saw a thing on social media. Some people in Texas were having fun with this. Some people, you'll appreciate this, wanted it called the Gulf of Buc-ee's. Or the Gulf of Whataburger.
I had not heard that.
I'd vote for that.
Yes.
That's great. Okay, so Chris, one final thought from me from a constitutional perspective as we watch all these executive orders take place this afternoon, just a quick reminder to all of our listeners. Of course, there are constitutional and unconstitutional executive orders. Do not think that just because all of a sudden there's a slew of executive orders coming from Donald Trump that he's being a dictator in the way that Joe Biden was with a lot of his executive orders that were not constitutional because there was no law passed by Congress that was being executed. Look, George Washington did executive orders. John Adams, every president has done executive orders. It's literally fulfilling their Article II duty to faithfully execute the law if it's done in keeping with the law that was passed by Congress. And so as I'm going to do the same thing I did throughout Trump's presidency the first time, and I'm going to call, I'm going to call balls and strikes. And so as we see these executive orders, we're going to analyze them and look at them and say, are they constitutional or unconstitutional? Trump did a fantastic job in his first term of only doing constitutional executive orders. Now, we're in a little bit different ballgame this time in terms of how bad the radical agenda from the left was. Do extreme measures need to be taken because of the extreme times that we're in? We'll see. But we're going to look at each of these. And with 200 of them coming in the next 24 hours, we're going to have to do a lot of analysis there. Chris, God bless you, man. Thank you for joining me. And thanks for keeping an eye on all these headlines. I'm sure we're going to be covering a lot of this even in the weeks to come.
Thank you.
All right, folks, so the rest of this week, here's what you got. So I'll be with you tomorrow, then Walker will be back on Wednesday, and then I'll be with you Thursday and Walker on Friday. And as Chris and I were talking about, man, there's so much to cover. No way to get it in today's program or tomorrow's. So a lot of good stuff happening. We will, of course, report on the bad as well. We're going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly, but we're always going to have joy in the fight. And today is a very joyful day. Joy comes in the morning, folks, and we are experiencing it right now. God has been faithful. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down. Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.